always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers content creator. Joined on this fine Thursday night by you guys. Today's show obviously brought in video form here on YouTube by Prize Picks. Use that $5 or use that promo code HMA to get $50 worth of lineups when you sign up and make a $5 lineup. Again, HMA is the promo code up the top right corner up there. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about the Lakers beating the Golden State Warriors. LeBron James reminding everybody, yep, he is indeed pretty good. The conversation about JJ Redick stemming from the loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Lakers' responses to being called out when I was told over the last couple of days what JJ Redick said somehow breached locker room etiquette. So we'll talk about that. I want to talk about Luke Kennard as well in this kind of point guard role he's been thrust into. With Luka and Austin being down, and we had seen some of it before, but we've certainly seen a lot of it since. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about whatever it is that you guys want to talk about, and we'll enjoy a win, right? Like I honestly, you know what? That's where I'm probably going to start the show. It's like I know things are not in the best place right now, but we do have to every so often stop and enjoy the team that we are all rooting for winning a basketball game, which is, you know, kind of nice. Now, I am the guy who recently has been talking about the funk that I've been sitting in, right? Like, man, it's just been really tough to like walk around and see where it looked like the season was going. And then now see where the season seems to be going. Like that's a very tough development to have to try to swallow here. And I've copped to just being kind of walking around in a bit of a fog and a bit of a funk. And with that said, even given that like that hasn't obviously been lifted by beating the Golden State Warriors on this random Thursday night in the NBA, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't enjoy wins and performances like this, where LeBron James, at the age of 41 years old, he plays 32 minutes, he drops 26 points on 11 of 17 from the field, 3 of 5 from three-point range, grabbed 8 boards, dished out 11 assists, had a couple of steals and a block shot. And it's like, that's a great game by any player's standard, but a 41-year-old putting up those numbers is effing bananas. And given that this 41-year-old is putting up those numbers on a team that doesn't have its usual primary engine, and its usual, basically, secondary engine either, LeBron basically kept the Lakers' hopes alive at maintaining the 3 seed or maintaining home court advantage in the first round of these playoffs. And, you know, I share those same frustrations with how this season is going, but I also think it's worth just sitting here and saying, damn, that's really effing cool, right? Like, that's like this win. For one thing, I'm, you know, you see Dodgers hat over there, Dodger hat behind me. Like, I bleed purple and gold. I bleed Dodger blue, and beating the Bay, always fun. Beating the greater San Francisco area, always fun. And so, like, picking up this win, you know, and we'll talk about the specifics of this win here in a little bit, but picking up this win and staying alive and kind of fighting back against the negative vibes and the dumb conversation over the last like 48 hours since that Oklahoma City Thunder blowout, like fighting the Lakers, showing enough fight to not just win this game, but beat the brakes off of the Warriors the way that the Lakers did. Like, I think that there's real value in enjoying this. And the final kind of reason why I think it's important that we do is because we probably all see where this is heading or where it seems to be heading. And we're going to go through months of not having Lakers basketball, of not getting to see these guys on the court together. Hell, we might be watching the last games that LeBron James, or some of the last games that LeBron James is ever going to play. You know, it's a possibility. I think it's very unlikely, but it's a possibility. We might be watching some of the last games that LeBron James is ever going to play for the Lakers. You know, that's a distinct possibility, a significantly more distinct possibility than him not playing beyond this season. I'm going to enjoy that. And when he rolls back, you know, like beats off, whoop, pause. That's worse than the other one. I was going to say beats off. I was like, that's terrible. I can hear Pete's laughter in my ear right now. when LeBron fends off Father Time. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm enjoying. No, I'm sorry. All right, I gotta get it to get it together. but when LeBron like tells Father Time, nope, come back next week sometime. That's awesome, right? Like, that has to be really cool. We all get to watch him do this stuff. We get to watch Luke Kennard, who we'll talk about here in a little bit as well, somehow find parts of his games that like none of us saw coming. Honestly, had Luke Kennard shown his ability on the ball as a facilitator, as this caliber of connective tissue as Luke Kennard has been, he would have gone for a hell of a lot more than Gabe Vincent in a second round pick. You know, that's worth celebrating and enjoying, right? I think it's really cool from a cultural standpoint here for the Lakers that all we've heard about over the last 48 hours is how J.J. Redick saying that DeAndre Ayton can't catch a basketball, which is objectively true. It somehow broke some unwritten rule of the locker room. We've been hearing about how like J.J. Redick and Jared Vanderbilt somehow hate each other in such a way that neither side could potentially like could ever have a productive relationship with the other. Like, given how stupid the conversation has been over the last 48 hours, and given how just kind of down in the dumps that we have all been over the last, I don't know, few days now or so, basically since last Friday, week now, or going on a week, like games like that, it is very important that we enjoy them because, you know, we're running out of games period in this upcoming season. And then we're going to get into, you know, you'll have the excitement of June as you get into the draft, and you have the excitement of July as you get into free agency and the rest of offseason there, you have that excitement. But then you get into August, and then you get into September, and both of those 2 months are just so dry from a sports and content and just overall, especially Lakers standpoint, that you just like sit here and you're like, man, I really miss Lakers basketball. And if we don't enjoy this, that makes that stretch that much drier. So I really enjoyed that win. The offside chat was lit, and it was a really good time in there. And you know, enjoying these wins is I think really important. Let's talk about LeBron, who, you know, look, I know talking to people around the league since Luka went down, since Austin went down, been talking to people around the league a lot about like, damn, did this just completely shut the door on LeBron's potential return? And obviously you heard Harrison and I talk about in yesterday's episode about how like it would be really stupid of the Lakers just to completely close the door on that possibility. And look, man, he has games like this to keep your season alive, to reset the vibes, to just remind everybody, oh yeah, that's right, I'm either the GOAT or the second best basketball player who has ever walked planet Earth. And I'm still doing this at this age at such a productive level that, you know, it's just insane what we're watching. And I know that I often, you know, I often push back on the whole like don't take it for granted thing because people were doing this like 4 years ago. But as we arrive here, where at least from a Lakers perspective, we might, you know, genuinely be running out of games that we get to enjoy here with LeBron, we cannot take for granted the fact that like he went into this game and basically said, you know, in a game full of 20-year-olds or whatever, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be the best basketball player out there today. Nah, my team's going to win tonight. I'm sorry, man. Kareem wasn't doing that. Karl Malone wasn't doing that at this age. Robert Parrish wasn't doing that at this age when those guys were still playing. Like, those guys were going to go out there, and there would be like two or three baskets that they would score in a row. And the people calling the game were like, wow, look at that. Look, wow, look at that. Kareem got out there and he shot that skyhook. It is absolutely bonkers that you would watch a 41-year-old drop 26, 11, and 8 on that kind of efficiency and be like, ho hum, that was kind of cool. And that's the expectation with LeBron James. And this is part of why I get so frustrated with the conversation, you know, about him as far as his future with the Lakers goes. It's like, nope, I only want LeBron. Like I've heard every time I send a LeBron James tweet, you can go through the mentions and I will say, damn, that was a really good LeBron game. And they'll be like, I still only really want him back on a minimum. This is not like 26, 11, and 8 is not fucking minimum production. It's not, especially when you consider before Luka and Austin went down, LeBron was playing a completely different role. Hell, he prepared for this season for a completely different role. The Lakers lose both of those guys, and LeBron's like, all right, I guess I'll be the GOAT again. Absolutely bonkers what we're seeing from this guy. And he's doing it at this time where everything, like the sky is actually falling. There were people, Lakers fans, walking around with umbrellas in the greater LA area or around the world because there are pieces of the sky that are falling there and hitting them in the head if they don't have those umbrellas. And for LeBron to basically be like, all right, Father Time, you go stay over there. Shitty vibes around the Lakers, you stay over there. I'm winning this game. And yes, it was against a shorthanded Golden State Warriors team that is heading for the 10 spot in the play-in. Like, I know this isn't exactly the fucking three-peat Lakers or the 95 Bulls or the 96 Bulls. Like, this isn't exactly, you know, the redeem team or the dream team or whatever Team USA that you want to point to. Like, the Warriors suck. They have sucked for most of the year. You have Kirk Lacob operating his gym bus over there. Like, I know that there are very clear holes to poke in winning this game in that fashion and LeBron playing at this level. But it's like, why would you? If you're watching this show and you are rooting for the Lakers, why would you? Why take away any amount of joy from this win, given the lack of joy that we have all been sitting in over the last week or so? And what LeBron did in this game was absolutely ridiculous. Not only was he doing stuff on the offensive side of the thing, but he was communicating like crazy on defense. The Lakers held the Warriors to 103 points in a relatively fast-paced game. You know, this is the kind of game that you could very easily see the Lakers just kind of like not take all that seriously. And then it comes, you know, you go down the stretch and you're sitting there saying, like, I can't believe we have to sweat through this game against the Golden State Warriors. No, the Lakers in the third quarter, and then certainly, you know, in the fourth quarter, basically said, nah, this thing's over. And I thought a lot of the engagement and the discipline and the effort that the Lakers played with stemmed from LeBron approaching this game the way that he did. And that was really freaking cool to watch. Let's talk about J.J. Redick. Somebody who, by the way, I'm not even that positive about as a head coach. But it's been super weird to me to watch over the last, like, 48 hours, basically, since the Lakers lost by 70 or whatever it was to the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's been weird, really weird to me to see people in my mentions ardently telling me that J.J. Redick is the problem here. And it's like, look, we get to the playoffs. I don't really, you know, believe in him in that spot. It's going to be impossible to really kind of evaluate J.J. Redick in the playoffs this year, you know, given the absences or whatever we can state LeBron or Luka and Austin, if they even play, what they might look like. So it's going to be impossible to really kind of like honestly grade J.J. Redick as a playoff coach this year. But I know last year he just was completely outcoached in the series against Minnesota. And I really didn't like his response to being outcoached and being called out for some of the decisions that he made. Like, I didn't think he handled any of that very well. And yet, even given that I'm sitting here saying, like, I don't really know about this guy, even still, I'm sitting here saying over the last 48 hours since the Lakers lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder, I've had people genuinely, not trolling, actually in my mentions saying that, nope, actually J.J. Redick is the problem here. Not Luka Doncic's strained hamstring, not Austin Reeves's strained oblique, not the fact that LeBron James is 41 years old and is being asked to now carry the Lakers without Luka and without Austin against the reigning champion Oklahoma City Thunder. No, all that context, apparently, according to a lot of people, whether it's in the NBA media or the national media or ESPN, who just says whatever they have to say about the Lakers so that they can go viral enough to be dunked on or to be engaged with. For whatever reason, over the last 48 hours, J.J. Redick has become the problem, and it makes no sense. It's been such a dumb conversation about this guy, and I'm just sitting here saying, like, hey, can we just, like, wave at everything and say, hey, the context here sucks, right? Like, the context here is brutal for any coach. I had somebody tell me, oh, well, it's on the head coach to make up for not having their superstars. Absolutely the fuck not. Phil Jackson didn't win anything when he didn't have Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant or Shaquille O'Neal. Hell, he didn't really win very much when he didn't have those guys in their prime. Greg Popovich didn't win very much when he didn't have Tim Duncan or Kawhi Leonard. Rick Carlisle didn't win very much this year when he didn't have Troy Halliburton. Like, Steve Kerr looks pretty pedestrian when he doesn't have Steph Curry. this weird thing that, like, and look, like, Harrison and I thought we had a very human conversation about the state of the Lakers yesterday. I was actually really proud about the conversation that we had yesterday. It was fun. It was lighthearted. We joked, we riffed, we just kind of had a good time for 40 or, I think it was like an hour long. I hope you guys check out that conversation. And part of that conversation that I think is worth reiterating here is, like, sometimes when shitty stuff happens, we as humans look for somebody to blame. Somebody has to be at fault when things don't go to plan. And sometimes the thing that is at fault is just stupid chance. I made the point that Luka and Austin are dealing with their soft tissue injuries because they had been babied for most of the year by the medical staff. And it's like, I don't know enough about medicine to make that claim. They may have just gotten hurt, right? Like, the Lakers got absolutely stomped by the Oklahoma City Thunder the other day. While they didn't have LeBron, while they didn't have Luka, while they didn't have Austin, like, the explanation for how that went was right there.